It's 22 minutes to 10 here on 891 ABC. Now, sometime last year, we met this wonderful lady on 891 Mornings. We spoke with her, well, certainly Matt and Dave spoke with her, and that was Emma Taylor. Now, she's with the Sunrise Children's Association in Nepal. She was one of our Beyond the Backyarders. And I have to say, first of all, good morning, Emma.
Good morning.
Lovely to see you. Lovely for you to come and meet us face to face. But we got such a reaction from that particular Beyond the Backyard. So many people were so impressed with the work that you've done over in Nepal.
So did we, which was fantastic. Thank you. Lots of people took the time to look at the email address up on the website and things and send me emails. And out of that, we probably got an additional 20 to 25 new sponsors come on board, which has been absolutely fantastic. And then just, 10 or 20 other lovely emails, words of encouragement and inspiration. So that was, absolutely wonderful.
Now, just for those that didn't hear your Beyond the Backyard, Emma gave up what was a fairly well-paid advertising marketing job, headed over to Nepal and set up an orphanage.
Yeah. I actually went over there originally in February 2004 to volunteer in an orphanage for 3 months, and it was a locally run, terribly poor, corrupt, abusive orphanage, and I met this wonderful Nepali lady there, and we both just had the same vision for these children. So we got together and felt the only way to help these children was to open up our own orphanage in conjunction with the Child Welfare Board and Social Welfare Council and other local organisations. So we did that, and we started with 3 children in July 2005 and slowly built it up to 11 to 20 to 30, 40, 50. And now we're up to 79 children. So for the minute, that's all we're taking, because I don't think our houses will fit anymore. But, so we've got a wonderful home of 79 orphaned and abandoned children. Yeah.
It seems amazing to me. And just talking to you off air, you are so committed to this project and staying there as long as you possibly can.
Yeah, absolutely. It'd take something pretty dramatic to make me leave there, I think. Yeah. But no, I have every intention of staying there for, as long as I possibly can. And
you say you've got 79 children now. Mm. Let's look back at some of the things that have happened in the last perhaps 12 months or so since we've spoken to you. What sort of day-to-day dramas do you have to face and get through each week?
Fortunately, there's not too many major dramas. Probably the biggest upheaval in the last 6 months is when we had to move house. Sort of every 18 months or so, the landlords, obviously with 80 kids and 10 carers, 90 people living in a house, the landlords like us to move on every once in a while. So we ended up having to split into 2 houses in at the beginning of October. So trying to move 90 kids whilst they're at in the middle of a school term and all of the, household stuff that goes with it was quite an upheaval. And that was probably the biggest challenge for the kids and the carers and everyone at the time. But emotionally, there hasn't been too many major dramas. The kids are just amazing. There are a couple of the most recent 3 little kids that joined us last year were 2 four-year-old twin boys, and they have an 8-year-old brother, and their father passed away last December, 07, and then their mother became ill with cancer, and so they watched her deteriorate, and then a couple of months before she passed away, the mother brought her to us and said, "Can you please take my 2 youngest ones, because I can't look after them anymore." So those little boys, that was pretty traumatic, actually, because they just screamed and screamed and screamed and cried and cried and tried to grab onto her, and they, as she and the poor thing, she knew what was happening to her, so she had to leave them there with us, and took three hours to calm them down. And a month later, or 2 months later, when she passed away, then the 8-year-old brother also joined, but he settled in amazingly well, but he stayed by her bedside until she passed away. And he, when he joined, he said, trying to comfort his little brothers, he said, "There's no point crying. She's gone now, and I'm here, and we've got 76 new brothers and sisters and new family, new uncles and aunties, and let's just be happy and make the most of it." This is an 8-year-old talking to his 4-year-old twin brothers. Yeah,
presumably he'd carried a fair load anyway, nursing his mother, so he was a fairly responsible little man anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
There must be just so many heartbreaking stories in your orphanage.
There are. They're heartbreaking in the beginning, but then when you hear their stories and when they first arrived, and some of them are in traumatized condition and physically malnourished and sometimes other diseases and things, But seeing the transformation, how quickly they settle in, and the other kids welcome them so warmly and make them feel a part of the family so quickly, that just watching their transformation over the space of days and weeks is, that's really, really inspirational and makes us never doubt what we're doing,
How difficult is it for you, though? Because these three came to you last year, and obviously it would be impossible to turn them away with that story, and yet this year you're pretty full.
Luckily we had a space. We said maximum 80. So we had a space for three more, and these three boys came. So that was a blessing in disguise that we had the capacity to take in three more. Three more desperately in need children came, so we took them in without hesitation. And unfortunately, we've tried to put the word out there now that we're full, so that, the Child Welfare Board occasionally and other organisations recommend, when people come knocking on their door, they recommend, I'll go to Sunrise and see if you can get in there. And that's the hardest thing, is when people physically come knocking on your front gate with, a single mother with seven children, she's trying to drop off two at each orphanage in the area or something like that, and you have to turn them away. That's really difficult. Yeah.
Let's get back to the logistics, though. You've got this place. You say you move every 18 months or so. Mm. You need a permanent location, presumably.
We do. So that's one of our major goals for this year, is to buy land. So we've been looking at land around the valley for the last 2 years, and the prices have been going up minimum 20% year on year. So we're getting close, but our major goal for this year is to buy land by the end of the year, so we can build at least a semi-sustainable home, so that we can house up to 100 children, and create a replicable model that other organisations can follow. Also, because at the moment, I just read in the Adelaide Advertiser this morning that the Nepali government is upping the load shedding again. So I think last time I spoke to you in August, we had power cuts for 8 hours a day. Then last month it went up to 12 hours a day, and now it's going up to 16 hours a day. So we're going to only have 8 hours a day power, and that can be through the night. It varies by day, by week, by area. So some days we could have the entire waking day with absolutely no power, and so that makes it really difficult in the middle of winter, which it is now, where it gets dark at 5 o'clock, for the kids to do their homework, to eat, to wash, to do everything. So when we build our house, obviously we want to try and look at alternative
and have backups,
renewable natural energy sources, so we don't have to rely on the government and other organisations for power and water and everything else. So.
And what is the support like in Australia? You said you got 25 extra sponsors just through the spot you did with us. So there must be a lot of goodwill here for your work there.
The people have been absolutely amazing. We started off just as a small organisation, mainly in Sydney and Victoria, because that's where we were more based, but originally in terms of the other committee members, because I was based in Nepal. And now that the people in Adelaide have just been incredibly supportive, so our base is growing here, and without the support of the people over the last 4 or 5 years, we couldn't have helped the 79 kids that we've got, plus the 67 kids that we also sponsor to go to school down in one of the main slum areas. And then we've also got our outreach program down in the slums. We've got that training and development program in the local community, where we take in people, needy, marginalised groups like single mothers and disabled and people like that, to come and learn things like incense making, candle making, which is going to go off now that with the extra
power load shortages, shedding, yeah.
And candle making, sewing, and computing and things like that. So there's an increasing number of people from the local community coming and doing those training programs. So there's people coming on board to sponsor those sorts of little programs that we've got running. So we're hoping to continue to expand those programs, because they're generating income for needy people that are otherwise, not in a position to earn their own income and things. So even our older kids have started earning their own personal income now, and our 11 oldest ones have got their own bank accounts with their first $100 in it that they earned through their tanka paintings, the traditional Tibetan tanka paintings that
Fantastic.
They've been doing. Yeah, so we sold them here in Australia over the past 12 months, and then that money's gone into the bank account.
So you're trying to teach them to be independent as well, are you, and to be able to survive on their own?
Yeah, absolutely. So, the 11 oldest children have already sold their first hunk of paintings, and they're halfway through their second ones now. And yeah,
Emma, fantastic. When you're in the orphanage, obviously having 80 children to look after, and there's a few of you doing it, but still, it's a huge operation. Does it feel like a business type thing, or does it feel like a big family?
No, a big family. Definitely a big family. We've got nine live-in carers who are all Nepalese, and my partner Sangeeta, who I started the orphanage with, and the older children help out so much with the kids. And it's not at all. It's everybody's in a really good routine, but it's never like a boarding school where you've got to scold anyone or yes. ring bells or anything like that. It's the children just freely do what they know they have to do. They know they need to be fed, and so they come when we say it's mealtime, they wash their hands because they know how important hygiene is, particularly in a country like that. They just they're amazing.
Oh, Emma, look,
great self-discipline. And
I have no doubt that speaking to you again today will inspire many people, because you are seriously very inspiring with all the work that you've done over there. And let's hope that you get lots of support. You've got a dinner coming up in Adelaide. That's one of the reasons you're back.
Yeah, we have. There's two main programs that we've got running this year, which the community can get involved in, mainly for the purpose of raising enough money to buy our land and build a place. The first one is, the dinners that we're planning for the end of July, early August. It'll be somewhere around Adelaide, so we'll give you more details in a couple of months down the track when it's all finalised, but it'll just be a great night of entertainment with, dancers and inspirational speaker, and we've got a beautiful video of the children and auctions and things like that. And the second one is we've got this fantastic program which we started last year, whereby we invite people within the local community, individuals, to raise a minimum of $6,000 for Sunrise. And then in return, we give them a free trip to Nepal for 21 days with all major expenses, including flights, included in the package. So they don't have to fork out anything themselves, pretty much just a couple of basic expenses. But so they raise $6,000, we give them a trip to Nepal for 21 days, and that includes a 12-day trek to Annapurna Base Camp, visits to the orphanage for a few days, and time with the kids. And local sightseeing around Kathmandu Valley and Pokhara and stuff. So the guys that did it last year had an absolutely amazing time. So all the information about that's on our website as well. So if anyone's interested in doing that.
Well, let's give that out so we can make people aware of that.
It's www.scai.org.au.
Fantastic. We'll get you to give that to Amy outside, our producer as well, in case people want to ring in and find out what that's about. Emma, great to meet you. Thank you for coming in your few days in Adelaide. I'm sure you've got a million things that you should be doing.
Yeah, no, it's great. Thank you so much for having me in, and thank you to everyone out there for your wonderful support to date. Yeah.
Emma Taylor, she's with the Sunrise Children's Association over in Nepal, one of our former Beyond the Backyarders, and great to catch up with her again.